My guest is Lindsay Bauer, and she is the executive director of Orange City Arts, which is celebrating 40 years of connecting people through art. The nonprofit organization is committed to enriching the community by showcasing world-class artists, facilitating arts education, and supporting local creative talent. Bauer is an actress and theater educator who intentionally chose to move to Orange City 2 years ago. She's been active in the arts community, serving as the program director of OC Stages, the Orange City Youth Theater, and now she has been leading Orange City Arts since March. Lindsay, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Orange City is a close-knit community, and you're not from here. You didn't grow up here. And, you know, for 3 years, you were working as the after-school programs coordinator with the American Theater Company in Chicago. Out of all the places you could go, why did you and your husband decide to live here? Or, you know, why did you want to leave Chicago?
We were living in Chicago when our son was born. And at a certain point, we kind of realized, you know, living on one income in Chicago wasn't going to do it for us. And so we were trying to take stock of where we were and what we wanted. We love Chicago. We still love Chicago. It's a wonderful place. But we found that we kept coming to Orange City on vacation. We have a lot of friends here. We both graduated from Northwestern. And it just seemed like it made more sense to move in instead of packing our bags every couple of months. So we started actively looking for something that would bring us back here, something that would support us while we were living here, doing what we wanted to do among the people that we like. Orange City is a very odd community. I always describe it as an odd community because it's this wonderful microcosm of artists and activists and believers and thinkers and doers. And it's just a really lovely place to try and be an artist, to do work, and to raise a family.
And when you said you were living on one income in Chicago, was it a theater professional's income? Was this your income?
That would be no income.
Okay.
No. No, Cody was a realtor in Chicago. So he was working, 80-hour weeks, and I was at home with the baby losing my mind. And something about that just didn't seem like I wanted to keep doing it that way forever.
Yeah. Well, did you have any fears or concerns about moving here? I mean, going from a place like Chicago to a small town in Iowa is quite a leap.
It actually has been a lot smoother than I thought it was going to be. On occasion, I miss being able to order sushi to be delivered to my apartment at 3 a.m. But really, the times where that's appropriate are few. So
priorities.
Yeah, exactly. It's really been wonderful. People have been very welcoming. I don't have the right last name for this town. And sometimes when I get discouraged, I make the joke that, gosh, if heaven forbid anything ever happens to Cody, I'm going to find me a tall Vanderblonde and see how successful we can be. But it's an open community. It really is. It's an important place. I think so many of us try to describe where we live when we live in small towns in Iowa and we say we're in the middle of nowhere. No place is the middle of nowhere. Every place is important and the work we do is important. Our people are important here. And that kind of philosophy has made a huge difference for us.
So where did you grow up and does Orange City remind you of home?
I grew up in the Midwest. I've lived in a lot of places. I've lived in the Quad Cities, the Twin Cities, the Windy City, and now Orange City. I've lived in small towns in southwest Iowa. I've lived in large towns in Wisconsin. And, so home is where we make it. I feel at home here because I've crafted a home for myself here, and I've gathered to myself a community of people that make me feel at home. But nothing about Orange City reminds me of anything else I've ever lived in.
How so?
Well, again, it's an odd place to have such big ideas in a small town.
Well, you do have some connection to this community. You're a 2008 graduate of Northwestern College. What was your experience here as a student, and what made it so hard to leave? Or I guess the flip side of that question is, why did you keep coming back?
I came here as a freshman in 2004 with a very narrow view of what it meant to love people and what it meant to live with a spiritual understanding of the world. And I met people at Northwestern who expanded that, really just wonderful, inspiring people, both students and faculty, that showed me what all was possible and what we could accomplish together. And a lot of the people who were really instrumental in my life stayed here in town.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong about this characterization, but here you can be a big fish in a small pond, whereas in Chicago, you know, it's a thriving theater scene there, but it's hard to get noticed.
Yes, that's a really good way to put it. I also think that we use that phrase, big fish in a small pond, to talk about people who were talented in one place and are not talented in another place. So it has a kind of a negative connotation that is fine, and sometimes that applies. And I don't mean to say that you just called me untalented, but but I think the way I look at it too, I was working in Chicago and doing something that I love in Chicago, and that it was important there too. But what I was working on in Chicago, somebody else can do. There are all kinds of other people waiting to do what I was doing in Chicago. So if I leave, there's somebody to take my place. I'm joining an organization that's already working among other organizations who are doing work like I do. Now, when I come here, there aren't that many of us. And if we're not doing it, it doesn't get done. And our students and our artists and our community needs it here too. So it's the same work. It just seems to mean a little bit more to me anyway here that I'm filling a need that wouldn't maybe otherwise be met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just the ability to see more of the impact. And that kind of leads into my next question of, you know, what do you like about being part of an arts community in the small town? And maybe you kind of already answered that.
If I'm not surrounded by art or surrounded by artists, I don't fit in very well. I'm discovering now, especially in this job, and I'm interacting a lot more with other arts presenters and arts professionals, the things that made me not fit in most of the rest of my life, I'm suddenly popular. It's very weird. It's very weird. I went to a conference a few months ago. I couldn't sit down to eat my lunch because everyone wanted to sit by me. But, you know, I listen too hard and with too wide of eyes, or I care too much about things and I use a lot of sentimental language to try to explain what I'm talking about. All of those things suddenly make sense to this community of people because that's how they talk and that's how they think. If I'm not surrounded by art, I have to make it. I've got to have it around me, or I'm just not living. I feel suffocated. And if I'm the only one making it, well, there are some people who can do art in a vacuum. Emily Dickinson, who wrote her poems for one guy and herself. That's great. I can't do that. I've got to have partners and neighbors and a community around me that are on board or appreciating or making it with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the tagline for Orange City Arts is the arts for everyone. So what would you say to someone who thinks, the arts aren't really for me? How do you reach out to them and include them?
I think the arts connect people. So all kinds of art are just different ways of telling a story. So dance, you're telling a story. Music, you're telling a story. A painting or a sculpture, you're telling a story. Poem, you're telling a story. And it's all a different way of telling it. But when we hear each other's stories, we become connected as individuals. Now, if the people who say, that's not for me, I'm not creative, I'm not artistic, well, that's fine. If you think that, I don't think that anybody's not creative at all. How do you get dressed in the morning? How do you navigate your life? I think we have to break down the barriers between the creative type and the non-creative type, because it's just different kinds of creativity. And to the people who say, the arts aren't for me, well, you just haven't found the one that is. You just haven't found your art. Your art might be woodworking. Your art might be slam poetry. Your art might be rap. Your art might be, poor painting. I don't know, but something speaks to you. And this is something, so I have three kind of philosophies about art in a small town. One, I just talked about the storytelling, that it brings us together, it connects us. They're doing all kinds of studies now about what makes a community vibrant, what makes it sustainable. And big cities and small towns are discovering that having an artist community has revitalized their main street, their downtown, has really turned around their economies. I think Orange City recognizes that quite well, and the city gives us a lot of support. So I've talked about science and statistics now, but quite honestly, I believe that art is the language of the soul. And if we're never speaking that language, even if we don't understand what this poem is saying, or we don't know what this sculpture is, but it makes us feel something, that's tapping into that language of the soul. And we just need to provide the opportunities for our people to do that.
Yeah. So how are you expressing that language these days now that you're in a leadership role with Orange City Arts? You know, are you still acting? Do you have time for that?
I make time for that because I need to work. I just need to do that as a person and as an artist. I love my students. Every time I teach a class, I come back feeling, oh yeah, now I'm fully human. I get it. I'm connected with my whole self. I love my students. That's a big part of my work. But I also need to be working on my own projects. I currently work on a couple of projects with Swander Woman Productions, which is led by Mary Swander, the poet laureate of Iowa. She's based in Kelowna, Iowa. For the first time ever, I'm doing shows that are specifically geared toward an agricultural audience, which is fascinating to me because I didn't grow up in an agricultural area ever. So it's a language that's a little bit foreign to me. But for the first time, I live now and I'm fully invested in a community where a lot of my neighbors are either from an agricultural background or are still farmers now. And the work that I'm doing matters to them, and the what I'm talking about applies to them. And that's really important to me.
Well, you've been the executive director here for about 6 months, and you've stepped into this leadership role at an exciting time for the organization. It's the 40th anniversary season. And not to make this sound like a job interview, but why did you want the job? You know, what did you want to see happen in the local arts community?
Well, when Cody and I were first looking to move back to Orange City, you can get the local ads paper, the Advisor, online. You can see that online. So we were looking at all these jobs postings and we're like, oh, this could work. Or, oh, we could try that. And I'd say on a weekly basis, we would turn to each other and say, you know, but what I really want to do is what Janine does. So Janine Kalsbeek was the director here for 8 years. And the work that she has done building the program and building on what Joyce Blumendahl, who came before her and put down that foundation, strong foundation, it's just incredible the things that she's been able to accomplish with her just amazing amount of energy and determination. And she's just a really inspiring person. And so we're like, well, we can't have that job because Janine's doing it. So Cody found a job and we moved here, and I looked for a job and we had trouble getting childcare. So I ended up staying home for a while and I started the Orange City Youth Theater. So I had that and I was working with that. And then Janine emailed me and said, I'm going to step down and I think you should apply. Well, by that time, I'd worked on a couple of projects with Janine and I'd seen exactly what she does. And I was like, ooh, maybe I don't. I don't know how one person does it. I don't know how you get it all done. I don't think I can. But somebody's got to do it. So I put in my application and I spoke with the board. And I was really candid when I spoke with the board as well that I cannot duplicate what Janine has done. I can't be Janine. Nobody can be Janine. Janine is Janine. But what I can do is try to uphold Janine's legacy using the skills that I have and doing it the way that I'm good at doing it. And they were fine with that. I also was really clear about how it needed to make room for my own work, that I needed to have that available, and they were fine with that. And so here we are, 6 or 7 months later on this journey. And we're really focused on broadening and deepening our relationships this year. So, and over the next few years, how do we reach all of our neighbors? What do we need to do to make sure that all of our neighbors feel at home here? How do we connect with and connect to each other in every possible way? How do we find those stories that are still there that we haven't touched yet, that we haven't reached? And so we're exploring a lot of those strategies now.
I've been talking to Lindsay Bauer, Executive Director of Orange City Arts and Siouxland Public Media's Artist of the Month. The music you're hearing is The Green Hornet by Boston Brass. The band plays a blend of classical and jazz. They'll be performing at Northwestern College on Thursday, November 3. That's the next show in Orange City Arts' 40th anniversary season. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.